Acts chapter 17, verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. The Apostle Paul in his journey has come to Thessalonica. And this is a statement that the Apostle makes as he presents the gospel to those who are gathered to hear him. His message is that Christ has suffered. Christ has risen from the dead. And Paul preached unto them Jesus. The business of gospel preaching is Jesus Christ. What is to be proclaimed from our pulpits and throughout the world is Jesus Christ. And the great truth concerning Jesus is that he came to suffer. When we preach Jesus, we must preach the cross of Jesus. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians at chapter 1 of his first epistle, verse 17 and 18, he said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." When the cross is preached, there is an attitude toward that message, and there is a decision that is made. The apostle said unto some, the preaching of the cross is simply foolishness. But that attitude dwells within the heart of those who perish. Unto others who hear the preaching of the cross, it is the power of God. And that attitude dwells in the hearts of those who are saved. The preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ separates the saved from the lost. Unto the world, such a message is simply foolishness. But unto the church of our Lord and to those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the cross is the power of God. Paul would again write in chapter 2, verse 2 of the first epistle, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The message which Paul preached to the heathen pagan world was the cross of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The cross is a separating barrier. It separates the world from us, and us from the world. Paul said that through the preaching of the cross, in that which he found glory, had separated him from the world, because he had been crucified unto the world, and the world had been crucified unto him. Even as Jesus was crucified upon the cross, so Paul had been crucified by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus has every redeemed person been separated from the world. Philippians 2, verse 8, "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus was obedient to the Heavenly Father. The defining quality of his life was his obedience to the Heavenly Father. And that obedience involved the cross. Paul says that Jesus, through his obedience and by his becoming man, suffered the death of the cross. The Hebrew writer, chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the glory of God. The cross had to be endured. A despicable, humiliating, cruel, painful way to die. And Jesus Christ died the death of the cross. And the message and the proclamation of gospel preaching is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ has influence. The cross of Christ appeals to the heart of humanity and desires that those who hear this precious message, who understand this death, are brought into covenant relationship with God. The cross has an influence over every human life. Everyone who hears the message of the cross will be influenced by what they hear, either to be drawn unto God or to be separated from God. They will behold the message even as foolishness, or what Paul calls in the Corinthian letter, the wisdom of God. Jesus in John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32, spoke of the influence of the cross. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. Jesus Christ would be lifted up upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ would be lifted up from the tomb of death in His resurrection. Jesus Christ would be lifted up in His ascension to the Heavenly Father, where He would be placed at the right hand of the throne of the Heavenly Father on high. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The cross has a drawing attraction. The cross is the influence that God has declared unto the world, by which men are drawn unto Jesus, and through which hearts surrender unto His majesty. Jesus said, the judgment of this world is coming, and the prince of darkness of this world would be cast out. The prince of this world in darkness is identified throughout other passages of Scripture in the Bible as Satan, the devil. He is a prince. He has influence. He can attract. He can change. And He can alter the lives of those who choose to follow Him. But Jesus said that influence is going to be defeated. He will be cast out when I am lifted up. At 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 17, and that He died for all. Paul is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for all. Jesus died the death of the cross so that all men in all time, in every age of the world, from every corner of the earth, from every nationality, from every tongue, could be drawn unto Him. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them. Therein is the influence of the cross. The cross changes the thinking. The cross changes the affection. The cross changes the commitment. Jesus died for all, so that all might die unto themselves and live unto Christ. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Jesus no longer dwelt in the flesh. Jesus had been lifted up not only upon the cross, but from the earth itself. He now reigned in the heavens. He now sat upon the right hand of the throne of God. He now served as King of His kingdom. Paul said, we know Him no longer in the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The influence and the power of the cross is renewal. Those who come to Christ become changed. No longer do they dwell in their past, but rather all things have become new and they have become the new creation of God. Paul explained this in the Roman letter, chapter 6, 5 and 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, the phrase planted together implies life, renewal. When you plant a seed, that seed dies in the earth. And through a process called germination, revives itself and comes forth as a new plant. The apostle surely had that great concept in mind when he used this phrase, planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Paul declares to the Roman church and the heathen world the influence of the cross. Change, alteration, new life, forgotten, removed past, newness of life, planted together in the likeness of His death, come forth in the likeness of His resurrection as a new creature in Christ with new life and new hope. The body of sin is destroyed. Oh, what power the cross has. What influence is spread across the scene of humanity. The body of death is destroyed so that no longer do we serve sin. But rather, as Paul explains in this marvelous chapter of Holy Writ, we become the servants of God through Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The crucifixion of Jesus brought death to His human body. Paul speaks of a crucifixion whereby He continues to live. Yet not I. I no longer live, because I have been crucified with Christ. Crucifixion is death, separation. But Christ liveth in me. The influence of the cross. Christ comes to live in those that are crucified. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Philippians 3:8-10. Yea, doubtless, this is the words of the Apostle Paul speaking to the Philippian church. I count all things but loss. He has spoken of his heritage, his family, his religious association, his upbringing, his instruction and his education. I count all of that but lost. Why so? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Paul saw them as useless in light of the cross, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The cross has influence. The cross has the power to change human life and bring that life from the depth of sin and immorality to dwell with Jesus Christ and walk with Jesus Christ and be influenced by the life of Jesus Christ. The cross is my deliverance. 1 Peter 2:24. Who His own self, Jesus Christ, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus was beaten with the Roman whip. The flesh of His body was torn open, and the blood poured forth. Peter quotes a part of an Old Testament passage where a prophet had predicted that the stripes of Jesus brought forth in His suffering and His death upon the cross would heal humanity of the worst and most deadly illness that could affect the human heart. Sin. And Jesus Christ, in His body, in His flesh, according to the words of the Apostle Peter, bore our sins so that we might be dead to sins and live unto righteousness. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Jesus was just. No stain, no transgression, no flaw, no violation of any commandment that God had ever delivered by His holy mind. But unjust man, stained, flawed, and sinful. And the just, Jesus Christ, the pure and innocent Lamb who had come forth from heaven, died, suffered, the just for the unjust. Why? What was the purpose of that death upon the cross? That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that He might bring us to God. The cross delivers me from the bondage of sin and the transgression of the holy will of the immaculate, powerful God to righteousness through Christ. Colossians 1:20-22. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, human peace, peace between individuals, peace between countries, nations, armies, nay, peace between the creation and the Creator. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile. The word reconcile means to bring together, to unite, to become a partaker therein. Reconciled all things to Himself. The whole of creation was separated from God. Things in heaven, things in earth, everything that God had created and made according to His powerful voice had been separated from Him because of sin and transgression. Sin had covered the face of His creation and had stained every human soul. But Jesus Christ reconciled all things to Himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, this statement is spoken to the Colossian Christians, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. What separates humanity from God is wickedness. and those who made up the wonderful church in the city of Colossae had been alienated and had been the enemies of God, and now they were identified as saints through Jesus Christ. Alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, the death of the cross, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. What a deliverance! Wicked, alienated, and delivered unto holiness, whereby they were unreprovable and unblameable in the sight of God. By the cross, God saw His creation in a new light. He looked upon them in a different way. Revelation 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." The cleansing agent of the human soul is the blood of Christ, and that blood came through the cross. Hebrews 9:12. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." The effect and the power of the cross was the purchase of eternal redemption. Until the day that Christ died and the sermon on Pentecost was proclaimed, countless numbers of goats and calves and lambs had been shed so that their blood could be used for the atonement of human sin in the sight of God. But Jesus Christ entered once into that holy place. Never again would a priest enter into a holy place. You remember that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple, that large curtain that separated the holy from the most holy, was split from the top to the bottom, torn from its place. Christ had entered into that holy, most holy place and had obtained eternal redemption for the human family, for us, says the apostle. Ah, the deliverance of the cross. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom," Jesus Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And finally, "the cross is my seal of God's love." When you look upon the cross, you see the love of God. The love of God was not simply a spoken word from heaven to a fallen race, but the love of God was sealed with the crimson blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that poured forth from the cross on the hill of Calvary. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Can man know God's love in any deeper way than the cross? Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. The human mind cannot probe into the depths of love that caused the God of heaven, that moved and prompted the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator of the souls of men who had fallen by transgression, to send forth into the very world that was corrupt and vile and stained His only begotten Son." Ah, what love. that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God. We didn't deserve it. We'd done nothing to earn it. We did not even beg and plead for it. The heart of the sinner did not cry unto the God of heaven, send a remedy, provide help and cleansing. But rather, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. A payment had to be made because God is just. Sin had to be punished because God is right. There had to be consequences and accountability for man's fall because God is right. And so Christ became the payment. He became what Jesus Himself called the ransom, and what the Apostle Paul would later write to young Timothy, that Jesus was the ransom, the price, the propitiation. Ah, what love! You can't begin to understand it, and neither can I. There is no way that humanity can love in the manner that God loved. Romans 5:8. God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, can you imagine the God of heaven in all purity and holiness loving sinners? Violators of His will, transgressors of His law, defied Him and defamed Him and honored Him not. And to those individuals whose heart had been stained with the transgression of Satan and who followed the will of God's only enemy, and God commended His love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is the declaration of the love of God? What is my seal that God loves me? Only a glance to Calvary. And see the cross that was raised on that hill of death. And the most perfect and holy individual that has ever walked the footstool of God died under a darkened sky. John 15:12-13. This is my commandment, the commandment of Christ, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Is it possible for us to love to that degree? Is it humanly possible for us to love as Christ loved? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus had told them, ye are my friends. I'll die for you. I'll purge your soul. I'll cleanse your heart. I'll bring you to newness of life. Bless you with a hope that transcends any hope. Put you in possession of a dream that is almost impossible to dream. Ah, what love was shown on the hill that day. The multitude railed, cursed, hell laughed and danced. God loved. The message from the hill of Calvary is the seal of God's love. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. the sacrifice offered unto God that day was the body of Jesus, a soul of His only Son. How God must have felt. I believe that if the God of heaven has ever shed a tear, if His heart has ever been truly broken, surely it was on that day when Jesus said, "It is finished," and the life left His body. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The message of gospel preaching is the cross of Jesus Christ. And the cross has the influence and the power to change human life and alter human destiny. The cross of Christ has the power to deliver human souls from the bondage and the stain of sin and alienation from God, whereby we become a partaker of the inheritance in light, as Paul spoke to the Ephesian church. The cross has the power and the influence to seal the love of God in every human heart. And what some might see as mere foolishness, those that are redeemed by the precious blood that was poured forth that day, it is indeed the power of God, the cross of Christ.